financial literacy, and the human condition. Welcome to Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Frances Rahm.
Hi, it's Frances. I just wanted to take a minute to thank you for watching this video. If you're catching us on YouTube, please help us help others by clicking like, subscribe, and all notifications so you don't miss any videos. And check back for the next video. I think you're going to love it. Thanks again. For more information, you can visit us at hugyourmoney.com.
Welcome to Financial Fitness. I'm Jess Tyler, along with the Money Doctor, Dr. Frances Rahm. Hi.
Hi, Jess. How are you?
I am doing good, and I see that we have a guest today.
We do have a guest today. Our guest today joins us from the UK and London, England, of course, right? And Wall Street. So he's someone who's helping to make investing more approachable for our next generation, which, of course, I love. Joe Pack is our guest today, and he grew up in a small town in Washington State, worked his way into a career in Wall Street and London, and now he's using that experience to give college students a major leg up, if you will, in financial literacy in what I think is a very interesting way.
I'm hoping there's a British accent. Is there a British accent?
No. There is not. But thanks for having me on. I'll work on it. But I grew up in Washington State, so no British accent.
All right.
So I just want to say Joe's platform is called Tick Up. Not uptick, folks. Tick up. Okay. Very clever. Launching what is poised to be the largest stock picking competition for college students. And we'll talk more about how we might expand that in the country today. So how did this get on our financial fitness radar? Because it's not just about bragging rights. It's actually offering a $50,000 grand prize.
Wow.
And real world experience that could change the financial future of the participants. So welcome, Joe Pack. I can't wait to hear this story.
Thanks for having me on, Frances.
You're welcome. Do you mind if we start with your own story? You grew up in this town in Washington, and you say that investing helped you, your family in some way?
Yeah. So, I mean, I grew up in Richland, Washington, which is near where the Hanford site is. So one of these nuclear projects that they had back in the day. Mm-hmm. From there, I ended up going to Duke. And while I was at Duke, I started getting into the world of investing. And I really had, really no idea or resources at the time. I would try to find things online. But I went from, doing anything from penny stocks to, currency trading. And honestly, losing most of my money along the way, there were definitely times where I felt that I had an edge. But then, things like taking too much leverage and too much risk, which I think as a young college student, you're just prone to do. I learned, lessons pretty much the hard way. I think one of the biggest wake up calls was when I lost the money that I had saved up to go on spring break and I had to borrow it from a friend's family. So I think these lessons that I learned early on were very impactful. And I then started to change the way that I approached investing. I started to become more disciplined, using leverage in a more responsible way and sometimes, not needing to. And that led me to, getting a job on Wall Street. I actually ended up starting off as what they call a rates derivatives options trader. So this was, derivatives on derivatives. And it was a world that was, fairly unknown to me at the time, just trading stocks and currencies, things that are, quite more well known. And it went from there. I think I had a natural tenacity for it. And I ended up taking a job over in London and running some portfolios over here, both on the bond side as well as macro fund management. And I guess 8 years later, having been in London, I decided to leave and start TickUp. So it's been quite an interesting journey.
It's amazing. I read that you said that investing helped get your family out of debt. Are you willing to talk about that?
I mean, I think it's one of those things that trading, both as a career and as a personal investor, has given me the ability to help pay off, not only my student loans, but also loans that my family has taken on to help support me to go to college. I mean, university in the US now is absolutely crazy. I believe Duke's tuition is, over $60,000 per year for 4 years. That's an incredible amount that unless, you know, you're managing your money wisely, it's almost impossible to think of the career path that, you know, you're paying that off within a reasonable amount of time. So I think it takes a lot of discipline. And also, you know, you have to take selective risks. I think investing does involve risks, but at the same time, you can do it in a measured way. And over the long term, it works out if you're, you know, you're smart and diligent about it.
Yeah, I want to take the second to caution people just because I'm here saying, did investing help your family get out of debt? Remember that Joe just said he lost all his money and had to borrow from his friend's family to go on spring break. So, yes, you can invest and yes, you can do it wisely, but you need the kind of help that you get from a professional. And that's why Joe's here today talking to us.
Definitely.
I think a lot of people would maybe hear your story. You know, I grew up in Washington State and then I went to Duke University and then I invested on, got a job on Wall Street and then I was in London. And they may be thinking that you were born with a silver spoon in your mouth, but not the case, right?
No, definitely not. I think I was fortunate where I had really devoted parents who really supported me on every step of the way. I think financially, it's not like we were anything apart from middle class. My dad used to actually drive me, and my mom as well, would drive me 4 hours one way to Seattle and 4 hours back. So 8 hours round trip twice a week so that I could play on the best soccer team in the state. And that's actually what helped get me into Duke was being scouted by the Duke soccer coach. So it was by no means an easy journey. And obviously from Duke, I was on my own. I think I had to navigate, you know, the world of investing and finance. I think I saw a lot of my peers who had lots of family friends as well as their own parents who were involved in the financial industry and knew how to prepare for interviews and all these things. And I really had to find my own way in terms of looking up resources and trying to network and getting my way there. And ultimately, it was the mix of someone who also had a passion for soccer and one of my econ professors who had a soft spot for me that helped me land my first role. So it wasn't a smooth path by any means. I mean, I think when I moved to London initially, it was, you know, to take a risk on a role. So I think these things ended up all coming together, but by no means would I say it was a silver spoon experience.
Yeah. You know, thank you. We have a guest who comes on periodically named the sports doctor, Dr. Bob Weil, and we always end up, we never mean it, but we never intend it, but we always end up in some show talking about don't, you know, for parents, don't just assume that your kid is going to go get a full ride on a scholarship because they were a great soccer player, right? But in your case, it happened. So it does happen that that you can win these games this way, right?
I mean, yeah,
Yeah.
very
No, go
different.
ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I wasn't actually on a full ride. I did get a scholarship, but the full rides are, you know, some of the most talented people you'll ever come across. One of my best friends who was on a full ride ended up being the number one draft in the MLS. So the talent that you're competing with at these levels is very intense. And I mean, being able to drive, you know, 8 hours round trip to get to a practice, it's not for everyone. Like, I can't imagine myself working now and being able to do that. I think I was fortunate my parents were in a place where they could do that and take turns. But it's not an easy journey to bank on, you know, the sports scholarship.
Man, we're just on the other side of Mother's Day, and it's a good time to just give a nod to both parents. You know, any parent who is raising a child who is doing what truly must be the hardest job in the world,
Definitely.
my hat is off to them, and I'm sure that they're very proud of you and that you love them dearly. Yeah, so obviously your personal experience has helped shape the way that you built TickUp, right? We're definitely going to talk about this competition, by the way, folks. If you think I'm just getting Joe's story, it's coming. But I like to get some background on this. Like, so based on your personal experience and your experience now, right, earlier and now, what do you think is missing in the way that young people are taught about investing today? What's broken and how does TickUp aim to fix that?
I think what's broken is one, the ability to be patient. I think people are looking for a quick fix. I think people want an instant solution to something that, if you're doing it properly with discipline, takes time. And part of that time is putting in the effort to learn. And what I find a lot is that a platform for the younger generation, it needs to be engaging. I mean, you're competing with, you know, Instagram and TikTok. If you're not entertaining, you're not going to win out. Like, think about how Duolingo is so popular now compared to every other language learning tool that was there beforehand. It's because they've made it fun.
Yeah.
And what we aim then to do with TikTok is be engaging, but also deliver to people the route to learning. So, you know, the data that's behind it and being able to explain why this is important. I think being able to combine both the educational element with an engaging platform is the way to go, and it's the way to reach the younger generation.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that. Without getting too deeply into it, I guess, I'd love to ask you, you know, how your platform maybe uses AI or the technology today, along with a humanistic approach to accomplish that. How do you get people? We deal with this all the time. How do you make money fun? And investing is certainly more fun than managing debt, but I think you and I are doing similar things in gamifying what we've got in order to hold them. So can you, without giving away any of your trade secrets, of course, can you tell us a little bit about how you feel about that, how you think about it?
Yeah, so I'm happy to talk about how we incorporate AI into the platform. So AI is used in a few different ways. So one is we learn from your interests what sort of thing piques your curiosity. So the way that we go about TikTok is we present to you stocks in a swipeable format. We find that that's an engaging way, and we find that that reduces choice paralysis. When you say, what should I invest in, or what should I invest in, or how should I even, you know, start looking at, you know, stock or, you know, indices, where do I even begin? I think presenting someone with one question at a time, which is, you know, this one card, one stock, would you be interested in this, and swiping left to pass or right to save it, allows you to reduce this, you know, thousands and thousands of stocks to this one question. Is this interesting to you or not?
Yeah. Right. The big list, the overwhelming list. Sure.
Exactly. So first on this card, what we've done is we've mimicked what they call a Wikipedia hole. Do you know what a Wikipedia hole is?
I'm going to let you explain it. Thank you.
So it's where you just, you know, you start reading an article and you end up clicking on something else that's related, and you just get so interested in it that you go deeper into the topic because your curiosity naturally takes you there. I think what we've done is we've looked to replicate that with a one-touch button on the card that allows you to research with the backing of AI, who takes all this information, and we've created this kind of tree of questions that gives you natural follow-up questions that might interest you. So thinking about, you know, tell me about some of the risks and industry trends related to this company. And then if the company, for example, is like Duolingo, then you can talk about, you know, what's going on in the educational technology space. And you can go deeper into that and be like, how is AI being used in the educational tech space? So there's this tree that you can go down, you can learn, and we learn from your behavior what it is that you're interested in. So then as you go through all the data, if you decide to swipe left and you decide to pass, we know you're not interested in this sort of thing. And if you go right, we know that you are interested in it. So we learn from that, and that learning takes time. So we have a machine learning model. Our CTO who is brilliant. He went to MIT and he specializes in this, and we are able to then better present to you things that that you may think are interesting. And then we allow you to be able to view the fundamentals that support or disprove, you know, an investment thesis for that stock. So even if you're new to investing, it allows you to start getting a sense of what do people pay attention to and what's important. Where else we use AI is we use it to summarize large pieces of information. So if we think about like an earnings call can last an hour. It's very tough for you to carve that out of your time. So we use AI to help summarize those earnings call into, you know, what were the pros and cons that came out of this meeting, and what is the important information that I need to know. So there's different ways that we're using that to really condense down large amounts of data to really streamline for you, someone that's very busy but is interested in a way to be able to process all this information.
That's awesome. We're going to come back and talk about this tick up, pick six competition, but I just want to explain to people before we take a break that this card you're talking about is part of an app. And it
Correct.
is pretty cool, I have to say.
All right. Well, we'll
Thanks,
have much more with
buddy.
Joe Pack coming up. But in the meantime, Francis, can we get your phone number?
Of course, it's 413-773-3333.
And you can go to hugyourmoney.com too to get more information. We'll be back with part two of Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Ram on WHMP.
Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor is underwritten by Franklin County Technical School. We build futures. Visit fcts.us or call 413-863-9561.
Welcome back to Financial Fitness. I'm Jess Tyler, along with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Ram, and we have a special guest with us, Joe Pack.
Welcome back, Joe. Okay, now let's get into this competition. All right, I want to
Sounds
win $50,000 if I'm a
good.
college student. $50,000 got my attention. Let's start by saying, by asking you, what makes this tick up pick six competition different than a typical stock market game or some of the competitions you've seen in the past?
Yeah, so I think what makes us different is that we've embedded the competition into a platform that naturally helps you find your investments, right? So instead of saying, find your best three stock picks and present them with, no tools or framework, we've are an entire platform that's built on helping you discover and learn more about stocks. So for us, it's that combination and accessibility that makes it much simpler. All you have to do is then download the app, select six stocks on the app, and you can use the app to find those six stocks. And it's as simple as that to set up. And I think one of the most important things in getting more engaged with the markets and investing and becoming more familiar is just starting and getting that exposure to it. And I think that from my personal experience, that happened to me when I was in college. And even though I wasn't good at it when I was in college, that exposure helped set me up for the platform down the road.
Absolutely. For somebody listening who thinks this is like you're picking your square on a football card, can you talk a little bit about the criteria that, so if I'm a college student and I'm wanting to win this contest and I pick my six stocks, how do I know what you're looking for as a winner? Is it just the person who makes the most money? Are there other things?
So for the grand prize, it'll be based on the highest return, and we allow you to make a certain amount of changes over at certain intervals, and those details will be announced at a later date. But yes, you are primarily incentivized to seek the highest return, and while that may incentivize taking riskier stocks, for us, we think the first step is having more exposure and learning. What we'll also allow you to do, therefore, is then look at your portfolio and look how it performed on certain metrics that more professional analysts would look at. So for example, something like a Sharpe ratio, where you can see, actually, did I make this return with an excessive amount of risk, or did I make it with a limited amount of risk and I just chose really good stocks? So what we're trying to do is help familiarize the person with them, but we by no means believe that this is the one and only path that will take you towards, becoming an investing prowess.
Wow, it's amazing what you've put into this. But of course, my inquisitive mind, I'll say, I was going to say skeptical, but I'll say inquisitive. My inquisitive mind says, $50,000 is not pocket change. Who's funding this, and what's the bigger goal behind this giveaway?
For us, it's a win-win situation. I think what we're trying to do is attract more attention to the app, and we're trying to find users who understand how useful that it can be. I think the most useful case for an app that helps you discover and learn more about stocks is a competition that requires you to discover and learn more about stocks. So for us, we believe that is mutually beneficial. And at the end of the day, we're not a brokerage. We're focused purely on discovery. So we have no incentive at all to, have you invest money with us or, start investing in stocks in an unsafe or uneducated way. So what we've done is we formatted this competition. We've lined it up with our platform because we believe that our interests are aligned.
Yeah, so that was an important point. I think a very important point because there's so many stock apps out there. So it's privately funded, is what you're telling me.
That's correct. We first did our first capital raise at the end of last year, and this was done privately with angel investors. I mean, at the end of the day, the way that we make our money is having a lot of users and eventually being able to launch premium features, as well as then, being able to share more fundamental features that can help you on along the way that some more advanced investors might like. But for the basic user, we believe, and my mission is for that to always be free.
I was just going to say it. It's my favorite price. I downloaded the app this morning to check it
Oh,
out.
nice.
And yeah, it was fun. It was fun. You see that? Okay. And it was free. And entering this college student stock picking competition, the Pick Six, is free also to college students, correct?
Yes, completely free. As we spoke about a bit earlier, we are looking to expand this. And part of this expansion is that we realized, as I'm sure you have as well, is that financial literacy isn't just the problem that starts in college and goes away as you get older. I think I find many people, my peers in the 30s or younger in their 20s, who still get stuck in this place of where do I start? And it's always difficult to figure out that question. And I think the best way for me, again, is just having some exposure and slowly starting to learn and taking those first steps.
Yeah, I want to ask you a little bit more about what the college students are actually doing in this competition. Are they just picking stocks or is there more to it? How are they learning through this
Yeah.
process?
So we are also launching a social side of it, which acts as a forum that allows people to share their ideas. And we will be very strict on the type of moderation that occurs in terms of the level of quality of discourse that occurs. So I think what you find is on a lot of these finance apps that you mentioned, a lot of the type of information that you get is, hey, buy this stock for no reason because it's going to go to the moon. For us, we believe that we want to set the bar higher in terms of where the type of discussion and information sharing being had. And I think one of that is being but is by leading by example. And I think I will be a regular contributor to the app, helping guide this is the things I'm considering, or these are stocks I'm looking at. And I think the way that people are very creative. They love to share information. I think we'll find, economic and finance students sharing what they're looking at and being able to share the stocks that they're picking, or, the type of analysis that they're doing. So we think that we believe that there will be a lot of organic content that makes its way onto the app.
Yeah, I think that's really important. I have a number of those platforms that I check out, and I'm always frustrated, to say the least, that people can just launch whatever thought is on their mind. Some people use it to manipulate things because they know they have newbies on the thread, and so they tell people to buy or sell, and they're really just trying to get their shares from them. It's pretty sad how that works. But speaking of social media, and Jess might weigh in on this. I haven't let Jess say anything today, but speaking of social media, what do you think of things like Reddit or TikTok that promote themselves as some sort of financial education source?
I think with any sort of tool that allows you to be able to reach a broader audience, you will always find good and bad. And I think that some resources are actually valuable. I think it's the same thing on who you trust to get your news or information from. I think you have to look into what is a person's background. Have they worked in this field? I think just because someone is on TikTok or Reddit, I wouldn't, write them off. And I think that you do find really thoughtful content on there. But at the same time, you have to, wade through a lot of misinformation to get there. And I think that's, it's not just, sticking with finance. I think that's with a lot of things based on social media, right? I think it's really hard to know what correct information is. So it takes that additional information. I think what we're looking to do is help on the moderation side, but at the end of the day, we can't tell you, if someone's investment thesis is wrong or right. I think that is subjective at the end of the day. So there will always be that part where that's why we believe that this tool is great because you learn from yourself. Instead of saying, hey, I'm going to take whatever this influencer has told me, I'm learning the fundamentals and, the basis for investing myself so that I can decide what is, good and bad information.
Okay, so it's free. Tick up is free, and the competition is free to get in. But you're investing your own money, right? Like you're picking five stocks. The goal is to make the most. They win the grand prize, but you're still investing your own money in these stocks, correct?
No, so this is actually all done virtually. So the picking six stocks will be done on the app. It will be a virtual portfolio. So you're getting to practice absolutely risk-free, and you're
Oh,
starting to be
nice.
able to understand how things move. And actually, as we move this, as I was telling Francis a bit earlier, we are now actually going to expand this. We'll change the format slightly, and that's to be announced, but we realize that more people want to be involved. So just yourself, you'll be able to take part in this competition. I think it'd be a great way to learn and have fun, and honestly, catch up with some friends and make it a competition between yourselves as well.
Oh, fun. Now that I know I don't have to lose my own money, then I'm totally in.
So, it's
I mean,
great to hear.
that's one of the things that's so cool about it is it's free to download the app, right? I don't want to sound like a commercial because it's not what we do, but it's free to download the app. It's free to enroll, right? And compete. And
Yes.
it's virtual money. I mean, you got a shot if you do this well at making $50,000 in a grand prize or 15,000. I mentioned that, but we didn't talk about the team prize. There's a $15,000 team prize. What's that about?
So the team prize was about encouraging collaboration. Like you said, you need to learn. As part of this expansion, though, into making it more accessible for everyone, we're actually going to keep it with individuals only. So we're going to repurpose this prize money. And the
Okay.
reason for that is this is actually really funny. As we started marketing this, we realized that college students were actually gatekeeping the information about the competition and not sharing with each other so that they wouldn't
Really?
even improve their chances of winning.
They
So,
want to win.
so the entire team aspect or deciding to share it, that premise was proven falsely pretty quickly, based on feedback. And as a small startup, we've got to listen to what people are saying, and we're adjusting that quickly. And I found that pretty funny.
That is pretty funny. You know, I just want to say that most of our listeners and viewers, well, many of them anyway, are parents of college age students. What is something they could do this week to help their kids be more financially fit?
That's an interesting question. I think if I was doing this myself, I would give my child a $100 portfolio, put it in there, and tell them to just try it out. And I think you learn so much more with a hands-on experience than you would in, a million lectures. And I think it's because with investing, you can't write in a textbook the perfect way to invest. Things are constantly changing. The market is changing. The economy is changing. And I think part of it is you have to live and experience it. And part of that is just getting hands-on experience. So that's what I would do. I don't think you need to have a lot. I think just any amount that you would pay attention to, I think would be the way that I would start personally.
That's great. I can't believe that we're out of time already, but I just want to thank you again for joining us, Joe Pack. And if people want more
Thanks so much.
information about this,
So TICKUP app.com, tickupapp.com.
I hope that people will check this out and will st college students and parents will all look at this because it could be the spark that changes the way that they think about money or invest or think about their financial future. So thank you very much for coming on and sharing this with us.
Thanks so much for having me on.
And
Okay.
Francis, let's get your phone number too if anybody has questions.
Oh yeah, nobody wants to talk to me now.
They all do.
413-773-3333.
And you can visit hugyourmoney.com. We'll be back next week with another edition of Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Ram on WHMP.
Will you help us spread the word about financial fitness? Please like, subscribe, and choose all. Thank you.
Financial literacy and the human condition. Welcome to Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Raham.
Hi, it's Francis. I just wanted to take a minute to thank you for watching this video. If you're catching us on YouTube, please help us help others by clicking like, subscribe, and all notifications so you don't miss any videos. And check back for the next video. I think you're going to love it. Thanks again. For more information, you can visit us at hugyourmoney.com.
Welcome to Financial Fitness. I'm Jess Tyler, along with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Ram. Hi.
Hey, Jess, how are you?
And we have a familiar face with us today.
We do. Today, we're actually turning our attention to something that's heartwarming and hugely impactful right here in our own backyard. For over 2 decades, the North Quabbin Foodathon has rallied our support to support local food pantries and families in need. And it's more than just a fundraiser. It's a living example of what small towns can accomplish when people come together with a purpose, Jess. So with us today is someone who's been part of that purpose from the very beginning, at least I think from the very beginning. It's Jay Dean. So welcome, Jay.
This is old home days. I mean, Jess and I have this every day. It's like, it's so nice.
Well, you know what? Sorry, Jay, but I should prep listeners to know and watchers to know that we're going to flip back and forth between, what it's like to be in the studio with you guys and what it's like to be at the Foodathon. So you folks may know Jay. You might recognize his voice from local radio like WJDF, where Jay and I first met, oh, so many years ago, to Pure Oldies, which is what he's on now. Or you might recognize his voice from audiobooks you've read because he's a professional voiceover artist. But he's also been a driving force behind this event for, dare I say, 22 years, Jay?
Oh, since 2004. Yeah, I can't believe it's been that long, but 2000
Wow.
was the first one.
All right, we'll give you 21, head to 22 years now. So I can't wait to hear your perspective on how this all began. What's become of this year's Foodathon, and what do they have in store for us this year?
Well, I mean, and do you want to know how it started,
I
or
do.
yeah,
Let's
from
start there.
well, in that time, I want to give credit to someone who's not been involved because he moved out of the area. But there were four of us that were basically the steering committee. Rick Kwiatkowski was the town manager or town administrator in Orange. He and I just struck up a friendship. My brothers and I, of course, ran the JDF station from day to day. And one day I was just talking, we'd like to come up with something that has some impact, that will kind of, something we can do every year. And he talked about something that he had done with a small station. He was a town manager in Charlton previous years. He said, well, they used to do this food drive and yada, 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 and raised a little money. And so I said, well, let's try that. We could do that, maybe block off 12 hours, do like a 6A to 6P thing and see where you can get with it. And my youngest brother says, you're nuts. What are you, crazy? You're going to talk for 12 hours? Who's going to listen to that? I always give him grief about it.
How do you say
But
that again, Jay? You're nuts.
and there was probably more colorful language than that, but at any rate. So I think that all of us were just kind of, well, we play music all the time. How's this going to work? So between Rick and myself, then I said, let's call Carol Corville at AOTV, who runs the public access station. And the
Back
other
up in
person that
Orange.
came on to the committee is a name that might be familiar to the Western Mass area. Amy Clark was the executive director of the Franklin County Community Meals Program. So because it was the biggest entity we were aware of, I think we started off maybe with four pantries. Now it's six. But it was Amy, myself, Carol, and Rick on the steering committee. So he set up the day, got it all arranged. Carol brought some people over, and public access has it just exploded too in terms of its technology. But she had cameras that were hardwired through the cable system, which helped us out too. And we did a 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. thing, and we thought, well, it'd be nice if we could get, this is Amy's words, if we could fill up the trunk of a car and get $500 for each pantry. And I think there were four. Well, at first year, we also had Pete Gary from Pete's Tire donated or let us use one of the 18-foot box trucks.
Wow.
We had one at, I think it was Hannaford, and we had one in front of the station in the center of town. We filled two 18-foot box trucks and raised $13,000 in 12 hours.
Wow. It's incredible.
Yeah.
That's amazing. People really do care about this. you know, I have a little minor involvement with it this year. And when Jay asked me, I said, yeah, of course I would do this. I mean, who doesn't want to feed people in need and feed families in need? And yet, with the grocery prices where they are right now, I can't imagine a year where this was more needed than this year. I just, it's astonishing. I mean, even commercials for cell phones are coming out with things like grocery prices are up. It's a cell phone commercial, okay? Everybody's using this, but it never hits stronger than when somebody who already is having trouble feeding themselves or their family has to tolerate these kinds of prices. So, you know, thanks for giving us some feel for who launched it. I think off air you mentioned Monty to me.
Well,
Can you
that's
talk a
what I
little bit
just
about
wanted to
him?
say. I don't know, and Jess could obviously fill me in better on this. I don't know how Monty had, how long the walk has been going on, but I mean, it's just, I feel an affinity because everybody gets into that. This is something we can do, and this feels good, and you help somebody, or you don't know who you're helping. I mean,
Right.
you know what I'm
That's
saying? I
right.
mean, it's just one of those good karma things that you feel good about when you're done. And
I
I
think
just,
you're
you know, I kind of bow to Monty in terms of how big that event is. The other blessing we have is that, with all sincere sympathies to his family, I just can't imagine. But Jim McGovern has always been involved with us too, and he comes on during the course of the broadcast. I think last year he literally had his cell phone. He was shooting himself on the cell phone as he was walking from, I don't know, from his office to the Capitol for obsession. But, you know, did his interview with us and talked about his whole thing has always been, in this country, this should be fixable. People shouldn't go hungry. It is fixable. And as you
That's right.
said, Francis, it's
That's
I
right.
saw something. Worcester County Food Bank and Food Bank of Western Massachusetts both come on and interview with us as well. And I just saw some publicity about the Worcester County Food Bank. There's some sort of a shipment that didn't happen because of things that are getting cut. And it's like, you know, close to $475,000 worth of something. You know that's going to have an impact.
Wow, that's like
Not a good
five
one.
cartons of eggs now.
Yeah.
You know? Jess, you know a lot about what happens with Monty, I think, right? Can you
Yeah,
talk
I
a little
mean,
bit about that?
he's been doing it about 14, 15 years at least, and he does a 43-mile walk from Springfield to Greenfield is where it ends up. And as you were saying, Congressman Jim McGovern does the whole 43 miles. The other thing that's really great in this area is all the local legislators get involved. Like you'll see Lindsay Sabadosa out there, you'll see Joe Comerford. The mayors in the cities will come out during that day where they are, East Hampton Mayor Nicole LaChapelle. They all really get involved. And this walk that Monty does is just a really big part of the Western Mass Food Bank, the budget. Because it raises just so much money. I think it was close to $1 million last year.
That's amazing.
Wow.
Oh, for
Yeah.
folks who don't know Monty, let's give him a last name.
Monty Belmonte.
Thank you.
Yep.
It's amazing the amount of money that, as Jay pointed out, you can actually have a part in doing. You can do something about this. This is an opportunity, a real opportunity to get involved in some way. We'll talk in the second half, I think, about how people can get involved, but you could volunteer, you could donate. Right, you could participate in different ways, but you can make a difference in your own community.
What's amazing to me is that when COVID hit, the food collection part of it kind of went south. And yet it kind of averages around, I don't know, 30,000 every year, it seems like. But that first year in COVID, it just went to monetary donations. We got like $50,000
Amazing.
in that year. Yeah.
Do we have a
So.
goal for this? Do we have a
No, it's funny
benchmark?
that as part of the long-standing steering committee, people always bring that up, and I get kind of irate. Go.
Well, happy to make you mad, Jay.
Why don't you calm down, Jay? But the thing is, the problem has been, if you say, oh, we've got a goal of this amount of money, you know what the first question from the media is? Did you hit your goal? No,
right.
you know, it's not important. The goal isn't important. To me, the importance is just give what you can, and it doesn't matter whether it's a dollar or some of the businesses that cut checks for $1,000, $2,000. It doesn't matter. Every little bit helps, and it's just that, you know, I guess it's just a matter of, I realize people are always goal-oriented, but this, to me, was always, we just try to raise as much money as we can in 12 hours' time. And that's
Well,
why we just.
you know what your answer can be, Jay.
What?
Yes, we hit our goal. We fed a lot of people.
Yeah.
That's the goal, to feed people.
I know we're going to get to it in the second half, but I do want to just let people know what is the date of this year's event.
It is Tuesday. Yeah, Tuesday, May 20th, 6 a.m. till 6 p.m. It's always the third Tuesday in May. Tuesday, May 20th.
And what's your goal this year, Jay? No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm teasing you. I'm teasing you, I promise. But you know, when we've had like a lot of the legislators on talking about this, and I think it was East Hampton Mayor LaChapelle who said like when she was a kid, she had to take advantage of some of these services. So this is a thing, like you never know when you might need help. So if you are able to help when you don't need it that year, that's wonderful because you know, by next year you could need it. You don't know.
It's funny that many people will, although the food donation part of it has kind of stepped down, people still bring bags or whatever. And it's funny, in the first couple of years, we were always moved by people who wanted to bring diapers, you know, diapers or products for, you know, women's products or pet food or, you know, just things that you wouldn't necessarily think of.
What kind
That
of women's
people can
products,
use
Jay?
help with.
What kind of women's products could you get specific?
Well, no, I think
I'm
people would
teasing
bring.
you.
No, I'm saying that people would think, you know, this might be something that they just can't afford. You know, it's,
Right. Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah. In, at the holidays, we usually do a pet food drive, and it's very popular that people just come and leave cans of pet food, you know, and pet blankets and things as long as they're new and clean. And I know there are criteria. So just before we go to break, Jay, can you tell us a little bit about how many pantries are involved and the different kinds of ways people can donate? They can donate monetarily, they can bring food. Give us some details about
I
that,
would say the
particularly.
food part of it, you could probably drop off things. We'll have crews both at the Hannaford and Athol and the Market Basket as well. It benefits six pantries. The one that would be most familiar to people in this area is the Franklin County Community Meals Program, because they have several community meals and pantries as well. They have a pantry in Orange. Also, the Athol Salvation Army, St. Vincent de Paul of St. Mary's Church has a pantry that they maintain. The Our Lady Immaculate Church group in Athol, several churches, and they also put together a pantry where they set up, you know, things for people to pick up. The community food pantry at Athol High School, Shirley Mitchell has, over the past couple of years, has just done amazing work to get the kids involved, and they see how important it is. Also, the Wendell Good Neighbors Food Pantry, and they are also our fiscal sponsor. We, at one point, as a collective group, were going to try to make it a 501c3 foodathon, quote unquote, but it only happens once a year. So it's more foundational than it is, you know, a nonprofit. So they are the fiscal agent. So that's it. Yeah, that's the six. Salvation Army, Community Meals Program, Wendell Good Neighbors, St. Vincent de Paul, the Athol High School, and Our Lady Immaculate Church. The easiest way for people to donate is to, if they want, and they can do it right now, is to go to nqfoodathon.com. And on that website, it's there is a Venmo and a PayPal portal, and anything is appreciated, you know.
We're going to have much more coming up. But first, Francis, can I get your phone number?
Of course, it's 413-773-3333.
And you can go to hugyourmoney.com. We'll be back with Jay Dean and the money doctor, Dr. Francis Ram, with part two of Financial Fitness on WHMP.
Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor is underwritten by Franklin County Technical School. We build futures. Visit fcts.us or call 413-863-9561.
Welcome back to Financial Fitness. I'm Jess Tyler, along with the money doctor, Dr. Francis Ram, and special guest, Jay Dean. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, hello. Okay, Jay, I have to ask you for some fun things, you know, about what it's like to be at the Foodathon. What would surprise people about what happens behind the scenes?
Oh, boy.
If anything.
It's, you know, it's funny from the radio perspective, and you both can talk from this perspective too. You just get in front of the mic and kind of talk. And to be honest with you, the TV part is pretty much the same, although, you know, from the control room, sometimes something will come over the speaker and say, "You got to wrap it up. It's almost 15 minutes," you know, or no, it's a lot of fun. It really is. And, you know, the thing is, I never would pay attention to on the radio, obviously, is you see the monitor and you can see what they're shooting. You know what I'm saying? So you can move around while somebody gets into their seat. And, you know, it's TV is kind of much bigger on screen than you think it is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's,
you know, but no, TV is a different game. TV is a different game for sure, but you interview people, right? Can you paint a picture of what this Foodathon is like for somebody who's never seen it?
Well, we're going to have some segments, obviously, that so we can take a break from talking for 12 hours straight. And I'm very tickled that Ask Me Now is going to be part of one of those musical breaks. That's going to be great stuff. But no, people come in and like anything else, you know this, it's stories. I mean, think of all the people that have come through that have, you know, for Hug Your Money. It's the stories that are compelling when people come in and say, you know, the first or second year, and sadly, this gentleman's passed away. But he was a younger man, very handsome. He was a construction worker, heard us do the broadcast, came down to the station and said, "I want to do this." He cut a check for $500 and left it with us.
Oh, that's
great.
Went away.
You know, a big, burly, handsome guy. Came in maybe an hour and a half later, crying. Mm-hmm. I didn't do enough. He gave us another $500.
Oh.
The stories are just, you know, there was a time when I had to eat, you know, little noodles and, you know, I want to do this. It's been okay for me the past few years. I can do this. I can help. Mm. And I'll tell you, by the time 5 o'clock gets there, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, people start to get teary eyed just because, you know,
It must be something when the donations really start to happen. You have this concept, you know, we're going to get on the air. We're going to line up some guests. We're going to have some breaks. And we're going to hang on the edge of the cliff for 12 hours and hope that people will be kind and generous. And when that comes to fruition, when you start to see those donations rolling in, what's that feel like?
Because as we're talking, I'm forgetting about some of the things that happen as you go through each hour. Carol Corville, who's directing this whole thing, and a crew of, like I said, there's probably 100 volunteers that go around, get the money, count it up, and bring us hourly updates on, you know, how it's going. Yeah. So when you're at like 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon and you're at, you know, I don't know, $14,000-$15,000, you're going, wow, you know, this came in since 6 this morning.
Yeah.
We have, you know, it's just moving. It's, yeah.
I know you have some businesses that are particularly generous and they may remain anonymous. They may wish to remain anonymous, but is there anyone that you feel that you can, without embarrassing them or calling them out, point to that has gone above, you know, above the top?
Well, I mean, the obvious one that comes to mind for me is Pete. And I don't want to exclude any other businesses, but I've known and I worked for Pete at Pete's Tire Barns for 6 years in the office. And he's always got like 20, tire dealerships all over New England. He treats his employees very, very well. He's very generous to the community. Will buy so much material, Christmas time hams and whatever, and donates it to food banks. But no, each year he usually cuts a check from Pete's for like $5,000 and gets some tire dealerships to kick in. So he's, you know, comes in every year right around noontime with a check around $10,000. It's just,
yeah, that's amazing.
He's just so dedicated to it. And I often will, when we interview him, I think he gets a little embarrassed, and I'd say, you just do so much for the community. You know, it's, and he goes, well, the community's been very good to me and to the company. He says, I got to give back. You know, it's, yeah.
Well, that's what this is all about, right?
And many, many companies take part in this too. And I would encourage people again to visit the nqfoodathon.com. You can see a listing of many of the businesses that have donated. And they do it year in and year out. I mean, cut some big checks. And, you know, you cut a check for $100 and you don't realize how far that will really go to get, you know, to buy the supplies or get the food. But as you said, Francis and Jess, you know, too, right? This year, you watch the news and shake your head and go, you know, how are you going to survive with this? And the reason I love this so much is that it's local money. It comes in and it gets sent right back out to those pantries, divided up evenly.
You have an interesting career as a voiceover professional and as a DJ. You know, can you just tell us a little bit about, like, what made you choose that career? How did that begin?
Going way back?
Yeah, going way back. What
I think
lit
my
your
mother
fire?
Brought me to WCAT over in Orange, and I saw them playing records. And most people don't even know what records are. But, I mean, it just fascinated me. And I think as a kid I used to watch American Bandstand and thought Dick Clark was as slick as you know what.
Yeah. Do people recognize your voice in public?
I think some people just know me and they say, oh, I heard you talk about this or that and the other thing. There's been a couple times where I'll go, oh, I know you from someplace.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very gratifying. I enjoy doing it. It's, I know Jess and I talk about this all the time. We recently did the River Rat Race. It was so much fun seeing people just come up to you. And, well, I remember Jason Rushford, he'd come up and say, Jess, I listen to you every morning. You know, so
yeah, I love that.
Really nice. Yeah.
Well, we were talking the last half too, really quickly. I just wanted to get back to something you said, that the students really get involved. What are they doing to help? I know you mentioned that.
Well, Shirley has a whole crew of kids that just come in to help stack the shelves of things they have there, or, you know, do administrative tasks. And some of the kids will come down, I'm sure, during the food-a-thon and just, you know, we interview them, say, how's it going? You know, what do you find most gratifying about this? Yeah, it's just, here's one thing. I got to tell you this. Since we've been doing this from 2004, and Francis asked me about, you know, people recognizing you. They didn't recognize me necessarily, but I went through the thing at Hannaford, maybe, well, you know, picking up some groceries. Let's say it was 2013, and I had a food-a-thon hat on or something, and the young person at the register said, oh, I grew up the food-a-thon.
That's
the
amazing.
Other memory I got to tell you about real quick. Unfortunately, we don't do this now because of the food collection isn't what it used to be. But the Dexter Park School and Fisher Hill School, which is in the center of Orange, maybe a mile from the center of town, maybe not that far, the kids would put a bunch of food in wagons and pull the wagons down to the food-a-thon event. There was never a dry eye anywhere when they saw that. And we'd interview the kids. We'd say, you know, why did you do this? Well, some people are hungry, and that shouldn't be.
I know. Oh, my gosh. Kids are the best. Kids just totally get it. How can you get involved in the food-a-thon?
In terms of last-minute activities, I'm not quite sure. As we lead up to it, what we do is in the center of Orange, in the center of Athol, when you drive through, they'll be collecting money as you drive through. So as we lead up to the event each year, they're always looking for people who want to maybe, you know, you basically stand in the street and you have to sign some forms to, you know, to sign off on things. And it has to be somebody 18 or older. But, you know, that's there's that way. I'm sure each of the pantries, again, you can get information, their contact information from the website. They would always welcome any kind of help, too, I'm sure.
If you're a business listening to the show today and you decide, hey, I would like to get involved, maybe do like matching donations for an hour, would they be able to do that? Could they call somewhere to find out how to get involved?
If someone were to come from a business and stop down to the event on that day with a check,
that would be great.
We would welcome them to come in and sit down for a second and just ask the question, like, you know, to create another story. What motivated you to do this? Mm. You know, it's, I just hope we see a lot more people just thinking, boy, yeah, the world is crazy. The news is crazy. Things are getting cut. This is one way I can help.
Well, I know that with rising costs, you know, every family's looking out for themselves and worried about going to the grocery store themselves. But for just a moment, think about whether your big problem is whether you buy salmon or chicken and somebody else's is about whether they eat or not.
Yeah.
If you just have a couple of dollars and think it's not going to make a difference, all that stuff adds up. So if you're someone that has like an extra $5, like that's welcome because that adds up quickly.
You know, those are sometimes the donations I think are mean the most. You know, Jay, I just want to thank you so much for sharing your time and your lovely voice and your heart with us today. And you have such passion about this.
Can I just drop in the place where they can probably watch it, obviously in the Western Mass area and out of the cable system in Athol and Orange? The easiest thing to do is to watch it on AOTV13. That's 1 and 3, not spelled out. AOTV13.org. That will, the entire event will be streamed. And like I said, Francis, if they just watch it, I mean, just becoming aware of it helps, you know, yes. Because it might be the thing that just makes the you know, the switch flip for somebody to say, you know, that's a good thing for us to donate to every year or on an ongoing basis. Some people do that. They set it up so that they donate $15 every month. Just comes out of there. I mean, you can do that, I think, with Venmo or PayPal.
Yes, and we'll put that information up so everybody can see it. I want to thank both of you for participating in this show and wishing the North Quabbin Foodathon all the best. And until then, I hope we can stay kind and connected and financially fit.
Jay, can we get the website one more time?
NQFoodathon.com.
All right. Perfect. Jay Dean, thank you. And
thank you.
Dr. Francis Ram, let's get your phone number one more time.
Of course. It's 413-773-3333.
And as always, you can go to hugyourmoney.com. We'll be back next week with another edition of Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Ram, right here on WHMP.